Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Follow Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 5 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious one herself, Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl. What's up?
Well, we have classic radio all the way to 2 o'clock in the morning. You want to hear the Whistler in a little bit?
That's what we're going to do. We've got the Whistler in the second hour. We've got Rocky Fortune, and we have the amazing Mr. Malone. The amazing Mr. Malone.
Oh.
And Carl Amari and Steve Darnall.
Steve Darnall's here, yeah. We're going to talk about the Nostalgia Digest. What's up, Steve? How are you?
I'm great, Carl. Lisa, good to see you both.
Good to see you.
It's a lovely evening out there.
What's the weather like up there?
It's raining.
Steve's about 7'9", and I think it does get cooler warmer as you go up higher, is it?
It does. The heat rises, and of course, then it meets with the pressure front.
So here's the thing.
So when I'm standing next to someone
you'd probably want to be
it's raining on them.
Yeah. You'd probably want to be 5 inches shorter, right? And I want to be 5 inches taller, so let's make a trade.
Well, that was an assumption. Do you want to be shorter?
No, I'm okay.
See? Why did you say that to him?
Can't fit any sports cars.
What?
No, you know, and that has saved me on average $15,000 a year.
That's where Carl's mind goes. But he could be an NBA player.
But I digress.
No, but it's,
we're here to talk about the Nostalgia Digest. Now, this digest has been around, what, 50 years?
We're in our 45th year,
okay.
and I'm in my 15th year as the publisher.
Wow. This is a great magazine because it's all about what we all love here. It's about classic radio and nostalgia and movies and TV. Tell our listeners, if they don't know about this wonderful digest, which comes out 4 times a year, Steve is the publisher, Nostalgia Digest. Tell everyone what it's about.
Well, you've summed it up beautifully. It's a 64-page quarterly magazine about the golden age of entertainment. So in every issue, there are articles about radio and movies and music and what it was like to be alive during that golden age of entertainment, and interviews with performers from the radio era, and, of course, the schedule for your radio show, the radio theater.
Well, our show and your show.
And
because
our show, those were the
Steve
days.
Has a show on another station, WDCB 90.9, on Saturday afternoons, 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. And I know this because I listen.
Oh, bless
your
heart.
I listen, Steve, and I listened to Chuck Shaden before you had the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been at that time slot for a long, long time, right?
Yes, the show is in its 50th year.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. And you guys
it's
play...
almost as long as we've been on WGN. You're catching up to us.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
50 years.
Probably... You know, it's only felt
we've
like 60.
We've been here for 50 years.
It only feels like a few more.
Yeah, but Steve plays classic radio on Saturday afternoons, and he has this wonderful Nostalgia Digest. He's kind enough to also print our schedule, so if you do subscribe to the Nostalgia Digest, you will know exactly what Steve's playing on Saturdays and what Lisa and I are playing on Saturday and Sundays throughout
Absolutely.
The entire quarter, because it's a quarterly magazine.
Yes.
And it's chock full of all kinds of fun articles, just
yes.
amazing articles.
Well, we have a new summer issue, which has a cover story about an actress a lot of your listeners will know, I think, Agnes Moorehead.
Yeah.
We talk about her regularly.
Yeah. It's like a shot of her on the cover here.
It is. It's just amazing.
Very cool.
And there's articles in here about Mae West, and there's a great article about one of the early silent movie stars, Teddy the Wonder Dog.
Teddy the Wonder Dog.
And yes, he was
you're gonna,
the canine hero
you're
of Max
You're going to teach me
Sennett
something
Studios.
Here. I'm going to read
and
this
also
article
also articles
and learn.
About the crooners, you know, Rudy Valley and Bing and Frank and a lot of...
Oh, yeah. Great picture there of... of Frank Sinatra.
And even an article about growing up in the 40s and 50s and watching the Cubs and Sox.
Yeah.
So you get a photo of the 1959 Go-Go Sox.
There's great pictures in here, too, along with the articles. And, you know, it's just a really great magazine, folks. And if you don't have, if you're not a subscriber to the Nostalgia Digest, I encourage you to do it. Steve has a very special offer to our listeners. So, Steve, tell everyone about that.
Absolutely, yes. Now, a two-year subscription to the Nostalgia Digest is only $30. But if you order a subscription through our website, say at nostalgiadigest.com, or if you call our office and buy a subscription by calling 773-769-6575 and mention WGN when you place your order, either on the phone or online, we will not only give you 2 years of the Nostalgia Digest, but absolutely free, thanks to Carl Amari, you will get a four CD set of Carl's Twilight Zone radio dramas.
Right. And
absolutely
that's like,
free.
And that's like a $28 value for that alone.
Yes,
so,
and you get it thrown in with your $30 subscription.
I mean, such a deal, Lisa.
Those are two great products, too, and completely different, so they go together beautifully.
Absolutely, yes. I think, well, one of the things I love about listening to your show and of course, getting to appear when I do is that, you know, it's clear, it's a delight to meet people who are as excited about this era and these sounds as you are and as I am, and the chance to share them with people, whether it's through our radio shows or through the medium of print in the Nostalgia Digest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know a few people that have that subscribe, along with I subscribe, of course, but other people that, and we've talked about it, and they always say, you know, it's tried and true. Every single time they get their issue in the mail, comes four times a year, they're always excited to open it up and read it, and they always learn something. It's always entertaining. You have great writers on your payroll there that are writing these things, and you have a very, I mean, it's just a quality magazine, and it's been out a long time, and you've figured it out.
Well, thank
you. It's great.
Well, I mean, Chuck Shaden, who started the magazine, has sort of set the template in the sense that he reminded me with every issue he did that nostalgia is a very broad umbrella. I mean, I love radio. I know you will both love radio. If this had strictly been a radio publication, there'd be an awful lot we'd miss out on.
Yeah.
So the fact is that, yes, we can cover radio and radio performers like Agnes Moorehead, but we can cover movies and movie stars like Mae West and Burt Lancaster, who are both in the summer issue. We can cover the golden age of humor fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And how all those great stories were made into movies, like Life with Father and Cheaper by the Dozen.
Well, on television, too, classic TV is part of
classic
it often.
TV.
And then there's letters from people that listen to the show. They write in, you print their letters. It's just a great magazine. Folks, it's only $30 for 2 years.
Absolutely.
Of you'll get it four times a year, quarterly magazine called the Nostalgia Digest. You will also get the Twilight Zone CDs. You have to mention that.
Just mention WGN,
right? Just mention WGN. And go to nostalgiadigest.com, nostalgiadigest.com. And the phone number again?
Phone number is 773-769-6575. You can call anytime. Obviously, if you call now, I won't pick up because I'm here with Carl and Lisa. But
you don't have a clone?
I was kind of hoping if the phone would ring, you'd answer while we were on the air. You can't do that. Now, that would be funny.
No, it's just, can you imagine the one-sided conversation? Like, it's like, what?
Now, that's good radio,
Steve. No, you have
to
mention WGN. No, you have to mention.
Well, you have to get the Nostalgia Digest. That I want. I mean, this is a magazine perfect for our listeners. So check it out. And you'll know exactly what we're playing,
too. And we also hope that you'll listen to Steve on WDCB.
Yeah,
Saturdays from 1 to 5. Is
point
that
out,
correct?
It's a great Father's Day gift, too.
It is.
That is.
It is.
You know,
but terrific picture of Agnes Moorehead. Steve, it's always great to see you, my friend.
Lisa, Carl, thank
great
you both.
Great to see you.
We
always
love
a
to pleasure. Have
you
here.
Do great work, and that's why we love working with you, because you do quality work, and your show is awesome, and your digest is awesome.
Thank you, and I'm thrilled that we get to print your schedule within our pages as well.
I appreciate it very
much.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, it's the Whistler. Stick around. All right, welcome back to the show. And before we tune into the Whistler, I want to remind all of our listeners about the Classic Radio Club. You can get 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time sent to you each and every month via digital download or on CDs in a collector case. And Classic Radio Club is All the information is at the website classicradioclub.com, right, Lisa?
Yes, it's all there. And I wanted to make a quick mention before we start. We did not do our Real or Ridiculous this hour. Next 2 hours, we will be doing it. And next hour, we will be giving away a pair of lawn tickets for Ravinia to see the Oscar-winning film West Side Story and the score performed live by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. So stay tuned for that.
All right, our text in line, 312-981-7200. Feel free to text in. We love getting your text, but it's time now for the Whistler. Now, everybody loves the Whistler. It was a radio series that premiered in 1942, a good mystery series sponsored for most of its run by Signal Oil. And the first guy that played the Whistler, believe it or not, was Gale Gordon, Lucille Ball's foil for years, Mr. Mooney.
Oh, sure.
But the guy who played the role the longest was Bill Forman. There was other Whistlers, Marvin Miller, one of them. But all of the great supporting actors in L.A., Jack Webb, Gerald Moore, Elliot Lewis, William Conrad, they were all the stars of the Whistler. And on this particular episode, Betty Lou Gerson stars in a show called The Human Catalyst from March 17, 1948. Here's part one now of The Whistler.
And now, the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
I am The Whistler. And I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. Rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history. And Signal gasoline is tops, too, tops in quality. It takes extra quality, you know, to give you extra mileage. And Signal is the famous Go Farther gasoline. So look for the Signal circle sign in yellow and black that identifies friendly dealer-owned Signal stations from Canada to Mexico. And now the Whistler's strange story. The Human Catalyst.
In the field of chemistry, there are curious substances known as catalysts. Curious in that their mere presence together with other substances causes a violent reaction in which the catalysts themselves don't take part. In a way, they simply stand on the sidelines, untouched by the reaction they cause, unaware what they've done when it's all over. There are catalysts, too, among human beings. And on the night of February 3rd, on the terrace of a resort hotel in Miami Beach, a 17-year-old girl named Arlene Foster was about to become one. She didn't know it, of course, and like catalysts in chemistry, she never would. But there on the terrace, in a simple conversation with her teenage date, Arlene was preparing to step into the role.
Orville?
Yeah?
There's something I better tell you. I want to be fair, Orville.
Look, Arlene, if it's another confession, I'm just not interested. I'm crazy about you, yarn.
That's just it. That's why I have to tell you no. Vic's coming back, Orville. It's only a few weeks off.
Vic who?
Vic Stanfield. The orchestra leader that was here last year. He's bringing his band here to the hotel. Just as he promised me.
Well, what's so important about that?
But I don't want to deceive you, Orville. You see, Vic and I love each other.
Huh? What are you talking about? Why, he's an old man. He must be 30. How could
Orville, he... Orville, sometimes love doesn't pay any attention to ages. You see, before he left last season, Vic and I had an understanding.
Oh.
At that time, Vic Stanfield was many miles from Miami Beach. Many miles away from the Catalyst. Vic was in Cleveland, Ohio, attending a funeral service, moving up when it was over to console the widow of a dear friend of his.
I do appreciate it.
Mrs. Westover, I hope you know how I feel.
Oh, you're Mr. Stanfield, aren't you?
Yes, Vic Stanfield. I was one of Carl's best friends.
Oh, yes, of course, Mr. Stanfield.
If there's anything I can do, perhaps drive you home?
Why, that's very nice of you, Mr. Stanfield.
My car is right out front.
Oh, if there's anything
I can do. Here we are. You all right?
Yes. How was I?
Wonderful.
Wasn't easy. You don't think any of them...
No. Nobody suspects a thing.
No. Well, what now?
We'll be married in a month. We'll go south with a band and spend our honeymoon in Miami.
Oh, that seems awfully fast.
Look, sweetheart, let's not get into that again. We could hold a ceremony right in that church 10 minutes from now. Let them talk all they want.
But, Vicky, don't you think
it's clean, baby. There's not a trace, not a scrap of evidence. Just relax, baby, relax. You left your husband's fatal accident up to me. Now do me another favor. Let me take care of the future, too.
With the prologue of The Human Catalyst, the Signal Oil Company is bringing you another strange story by The Whistler.
Yes, it was clean, Vic. So clean that you and Thalia could flaunt your love at them. Throw it in their faces. Let them think and talk all they wanted. Because you're sure that in killing Carl Westover, Vic, you committed the perfect murder. It's a month almost to the day when you and Thalia drive up the Lakeshore Highway to the little town of Fairport to be married by a justice of the peace. And that night, you're on your way to Miami Beach and the new life that lies ahead for both of you. And in your complete happiness together, there's certainly no thought that each mile on the train brings you closer and closer to the Catalyst.
He's on his way, Orville. Vic's on his way back to me.
Well, you cut it out, Arlene. You're just being silly.
What's the matter, Vicky?
Huh?
Well, you're so quiet.
Oh, I don't know. I'm a little tired, I guess.
Yeah, I'm tired, too. Happy, Vicky?
You bet. You?
You know I am. You're not worried or anything? I mean, about Carl.
Look, sweetheart, forget Carl. He's gone. He's off the books.
And there's just you and me.
And that's why it's so perfect. Because we're the only two people who know. The only ones we'll ever have to worry about.
And with us forgetting it?
Right. It's all over. Your life in Cleveland, everything, just like it never happened, baby. Oh, baby, we got a lot of living to do. A long way to go together. First stop, Miami Beach.
So there it is, Vic. The aftermath of a murder you're certain is perfect. The happily ever after part of the story. It's like a chemical solution with two ingredients, quiet, inert, in a stage of precarious peace, awaiting the catalyst. Naturally, you don't know it, Vic, but as you and Thalia arrive at Miami Beach and check into your hotel suite, the little human catalyst, Arlene Foster, very close to you now, is suffering from some very shocking news.
Arlene, what in the world is the matter with you?
I'm sorry, Mother.
You haven't eaten a decent meal for a week.
You wouldn't understand.
Well, I have a pretty good idea what it is.
The same thing happened last year about this time, didn't it?
It's never happened before. Anything like this, that is.
Well, if I'd have known it had been like this when your father told me he was going to manage this hotel, I'd have stayed up north. Who is it this time? The bass player? Tenor saxophone? Or is it Victor Stanfield himself?
Who can you do it? How can you say that?
Wait a minute, Arlene. I wonder if boys are any easier.
Arlene walks slowly down the hall, stops at the telephone, begins to think.
Mary. Vic Mary. But he couldn't love her. Somebody ought to tell her what she's doing to Vic. She has no right to be his wife. He doesn't love her. He can't possibly love her. Somebody ought to call her on the telephone and... The telephone.
Excuse me, Vic. I'll get it.
Sure.
Hello?
Mrs. Stanfield?
Yes?
There's something you should know, Mrs. Stanfield, about your husband.
Who is this?
I'd rather not say. I'm calling to tell you you made a very serious mistake. A dangerous one.
Just a minute.
Victor doesn't love you, Mrs. Stanfield. He never did. He's been in love with someone else for a long time.
See here, if you think I'm going to listen
to
you...
That's all I have to say. You may not believe it now, but you'll find out soon enough. I've told you the truth.
Well, there's something you ought to know, whoever you are. Hello? 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 All the... In a way, it's kind of funny. Well, I tell Vic.
Darling! I had to run right up the minute I got off the plane.
Well, I'd have shot you if you hadn't, Jeannie. Lord, it's so good to see you. It seems like a year since we...
Vic.
Huh. Oh, Thalia. Darling, this is Jeannie Long. I've mentioned her to you. Used to sing with a band.
How do you do?
Yes.
Jeannie's back with us for this engagement, darling. Been a long time, huh, Jeannie? You know, Thalia, we two practically started out together. Is that right, Jeannie?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd better be getting down to my room. I've got to unpack, and you know how it is. Take care, Vicky. See you in an hour or so.
Yeah, you bet.
She's a lovely girl, Vic.
Yeah, swell. Huh. Well, let me see, where was I? Yeah, here we are.
What's that?
This is a property assignment, darling. I meant to bring it up before this, but I just didn't get around to it. Look, I think we'd better put your property, all your assets, in fact, in my name.
What?
Oh, don't look at me like that, darling. I'm not after your money. It's a legal thing, dear. A way of protecting your share of Carl's estate from any stray creditors that he happened to leave kicking around, you know. I had the papers drawn up yesterday afternoon, and I... What's the matter, Ted?
Vic, give me a cigarette, will you?
Sure.
Thanks. Now, tell me, how long have you been thinking about this?
Thinking about it? Why?
I'm just curious. I think I have a right to be. There's $180,000, roughly, and property in Cleveland.
I don't like the way you said that.
Then I'm sorry. But I think you'd better explain it more carefully.
I was about to, my darling, when that phone call... Wait a minute. Who was that call from, Thay?
It was nothing important.
No? I think it was. Look, who do you know in town, Thalia? Who'd be calling you on the telephone, huh?
Worried, Vicky?
Maybe.
Too bad. Because I've decided I won't tell you who it was. And as far as those papers go, I just don't think I'll sign them.
Any particular reason?
I don't know. Intuition, maybe.
I think it's something else. But there's no point going into that now. I'm due downstairs in 10 minutes. Good night.
All right, that's the first portion of The Whistler with the Human Catalyst from 1948. More after these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Lisa brought snacks. I can't eat any of these snacks. I ate so much food today. We're listening to something fun The Whistler. This is one of the most popular mystery shows of the golden age of radio. It was on a long, long time. It was like 800 broadcasts or something like that. There was also some movies made about the Whistler, but it never, I don't think, made a transition to television, although it would work, I think. It'd be an interesting show on TV, The Whistler. A lot of these shows would just work great on TV that didn't make the transition. A lot of the show, Johnny Dollar never made it to television. Don't you think Johnny Dollar would be a great TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Right, Vivacious?
Right, Vivacious.
All right. All right, well, we're listening to The Human Catalyst from March 17th, 1948. Here's the conclusion.
The reaction's well underway now, Vic. Something's wrong. You know it. You can feel it gnawing away inside you the rest of the evening. But you get hold of yourself when the job's over. Yes, it's ridiculous letting your imagination run away like that. Failure's all right. She's got to be all right. She has your life in her hands. It's almost 2 a.m. when you let yourself into the dark apartment on the 10th floor, hoping she's thought it over too, that the strange way she turned on you when you mentioned the assignment papers didn't mean what you were afraid it meant.
Tell you, you awake?
Yes.
I'm glad you are. No, no, skip the light. Look, Thalia, there's a few things we've got to get straight.
You sound very determined.
I am. Look, we can't afford to have any secrets between us, Thalia.
Have we?
I think we have. That phone call, for instance. Why won't you talk about it? What are you doing to me?
Maybe I should ask you the same question. What are you doing to me? Why is it suddenly necessary to sign everything over to you? That property's mine. I intend to leave it that way.
Oh. So that's it. That's what's eating, huh?
Nothing's eating me, Vic. Have you never really understood me? I can be practical, too.
Oh, sure, sure. Of course, you don't want to overlook a couple of other little considerations, like marriage, like love.
Love?
Yeah, love. Sound like you doubt that. Tell you, maybe you ought to add things up again. I plan the whole thing. I lie. I commit murder for you. I see it straight through, then suddenly it isn't enough. You're not satisfied.
I didn't say that, Vic. I understand your position quite clearly.
Then it's worse. How can you talk this way when I'm out on a limb alone? Not a chance to tie you into any part of it. You try to tell me nothing has changed, that you're just being practical. What kind of understanding is that, Thalia? Is it any good for me, is it?
You're good, Vic. Convincing, very sincere. Only through it all, I can hear only one thing. The money. I want that money.
But there's a very good reason, Thalia.
Yes, so I've discovered. Good night.
Wait a minute, Thalia.
Good night, Vic.
Look, mister, when you hire a private detective, you at least have to tell him what the job's all about.
Look, I've told you all you need to know, Mr. Shannon.
What's wrong with your wife? You afraid she's thinking of suicide or something?
I don't know. Look, if you want the job, simply do as I ask. Follow her. Wherever she goes, follow her and keep me informed.
Okay, mister, she'll never leave that hotel without me tagging right along.
It's a stalemate now. Both of you quiet. Feeling the tenseness in the air, waiting for something to happen. Then, about a week later, on a downtown street, Shand gets careless.
What do you want? Why are you following me?
Well, now, look, lady.
Don't try to deny it. I saw you yesterday, too, and the day before that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're doing it for him, aren't you? My husband.
Listen, lady, you're talking crazy. Why would your husband have someone following you?
There's a good reason.
Like what?
Money makes people do things like this.
Money?
My money. If it was his, he...
If what?
If anything happened to me. Why didn't you do it now? What are you waiting for?
Excuse me, lady. I'd better go see a guy.
Look, be reasonable, Shan.
Why didn't you level with me? Where do you get off dragging me in on a dirty deal like this?
But what's wrong?
Everything, the whole setup. I like money as much as the next guy. See, and I need jobs. But I'm stepping out of this one, mister, right now.
But
I'm
look...
getting out of here. You don't even have to pay me.
Look, I don't get you, Shan. What could
you... You heard me. I'm getting out.
It's almost out in the open now, isn't it, Vic? But not quite. Because you're not even sure what's happening. Not able to talk it all out with the one person you should go to with a problem. Because right now, she is that problem. And you're alone. That's what's so terrifying, isn't it, Vic? Your complete helplessness. And you have no way of knowing, of course, that now tonight, the band assembles on the platform as you check quickly through the evening's dance program. Failure's facing Jeannie Long in her dressing room.
That's a very strange question, Failure.
Under the circumstances, I don't think it is.
In any case, how I feel about Vic is my own business.
You can't expect me to believe you've never been in love with him.
That'd be pretty silly.
Yes, I think so. I think you're still in love with him.
Maybe. But why do this the hard way, Failure? Why not ask Vic how he feels?
I know how he feels.
Well, you leave me speechless, darling.
I'm not surprised, Jeannie, but Vic might be. I'm going to settle a few things for him tonight.
Vic, could I talk to you a minute?
Not right now, Jeannie, please. Okay, boys, let's take it. One, two.
It's a struggle, isn't it, Vic, as the job begins. As you try to concentrate on the music and the piano in front of you, while your mind is on other things.
The money, the property, it's mine. I intend to leave it that way.
Those are the raw materials, aren't they, Vic? Something for a man's mind to work on. Particularly a mind like yours, with murder lying underneath everything else. Yes, you can close your eyes there at the piano and hear things like this.
I love you. Don't be ridiculous, Vicky. Carl annoys me. I wanted someone to do a job for me, and you came along, so...
You let me go ahead and...
The money, darling. The property in Cleveland. I want it. I've got it. And I won't have to pay for it, will I, Vicky?
No! No, she won't get away with it!
You're trembling, aren't you, Vic? Sitting there terrified by your own thoughts. Almost afraid to think of what you might have to do to escape.
Intermission, Vic.
What? Yeah, sure, Jean.
And now you're going to listen to me. It's Thalia.
Thalia? What about Thalia?
Well, she said the oddest thing. Something about settling things for you tonight.
I knew it.
What?
That little...
Vic, what is it?
Settle things, huh? I'll see about that.
You know now you've got to kill her, and it has to happen fast. In the lobby outside the ballroom, you stop. Remember something that private detective said about suicide. You can make it look like suicide, Vic, just by taking the time to set it up, getting yourself a witness. Yes, the telephone girl will do.
Ethel.
Oh, what is it, Vic?
My wife. Is she in her room?
Well, I think she went up just a little while ago.
Oh, Ethel, was she all right? Did she say anything about not disturbing her?
I don't know. Is there something wrong?
I don't know. She's been very upset lately. I don't know what it is, but the way she's acting, I'm afraid she might do something to herself. I'd better get up there right away.
Thalia?
You step back, remembering somehow that you have your own key. Fumble nervously, opening the door.
Thalia?
You cross swiftly to the bedroom, glance in, wonder where she could be.
Thalia!
Turning, you catch sight of the doors to the terrace. They're both standing open, a slight breeze rustling the draperies.
Thalia, I just want to talk... What's the matter, Thalia? What are you doing out there on the terrace?
Don't you come near me. You can't do this.
But we're going to talk, Thalia. Don't back
please,
away
please
from
don't
me.
Leave me. Please leave me. Look out!
Thalia, look out! Stop the rat! You'll go over!
It's all over, Vic. In one terrible moment, as Thalia falls back over the terrace rail, and your mind whirls with a thought that here is the end product of your perfect murder. You don't know it, of course, but the human catalyst has done her work well. And all that's left as you draw back from the rail with a shudder is the realization that your own life is at stake if you don't get out of these rooms before anyone comes up. You're sure there's time, but you cross swiftly toward the door, thankful that you left the idea of suicide with the switchboard girl. She's got to back you up, Vic. It's the only hope you have now.
Mr. Stanfield? Yes. Glad I ran into you. I'm Lieutenant Harrison, Miami Police.
I don't understand.
Afraid I don't either, Stanfield. Your wife inside?
I don't know. I just stepped in the door myself.
Oh? Well, have a look, will you? You see, she called us tonight.
She what?
Called us. She was quite upset.
I know. She's been acting strange lately, but I didn't
What
think
she had to say was quite strange, Stanfield, but maybe I better step inside.
Yeah, sure, but I... Look, Lieutenant, what's this all about? I can't understand what
you...
Want
me to get it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes? What? Uh-huh. That must have just happened. No, it's all right. I'm with her husband now. Well, Stanfield, maybe you already know this, but just for the record, that call was to let us know that your wife's body is out on the pavement, 10 floors down.
Oh, no.
That's the terrace over there, huh? Pushed her right over the rail.
No, please, it was an accident. I can prove it was an accident.
Maybe you can, Stanfield, I don't know. You'll have your chance, of course. But when she called us just 20 minutes ago, she said she was certain you were going to kill her.
Gee, Arlene, I can't get over it.
What, Orville?
The papers today about Vic Stanfield being convicted of murder. The Miami police and that private detective both telling the jury Mrs. Stanfield said she was afraid he was going to kill her.
Oh, yes. I wonder why he did such a thing, Orville.
I don't know. Only, oh, gosh, the whole thing must have hit you pretty hard, Arlene. I mean, the way you felt about Stanfield.
Well, you know, Orville, it was terrible, but as far as anything personal between Vic and me, I guess I was just silly. You see, Orville, there's something you should know.
You mean about our going steady again?
No. Rodney Maynard and his men of music are coming here next week.
Yeah, I know that.
Yes, but... Well, Orville, there's something I've never told you about me and Rodney.
Whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Wednesday night at this same time. Brought to you by the Signal Oil Company, marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil, and fine quality automotive accessories. Signal has asked me to remind you, to get the most driving pleasure, drive at sensible speeds, be courteous, and obey traffic regulations. It may save a life, possibly your own. Featured in tonight's story were Betty Lou Gerson and Tony Barrett. The Whistler was produced by George W. Allen, with story by Joel Malone and Harold Swanton, and music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Next Wednesday, for a full hour of mystery over most of these stations, tune in a half hour earlier. Enjoy The Saint as well as The Whistler. This is Marvin Miller speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
All right, that's The Whistler from March 17th, 1948, with a human catalyst starring Betty Lou Gerson that was sponsored by Signal Oil, as heard on CBS. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Just a few moments ago, we had a Woodman's spot there, Woodman's commercial, one of our sponsors here on the WGN Radio Theater. And don't forget, when you take a picture of your Woodman's receipt, so when you shop at Woodman's, get that receipt, take a picture of it with your smartphone, email it to us at woodmanswgn@gmail.com, and then within 36 hours... most of the time way sooner than that, you will get 12 classic radio shows emailed to you via digital download. So shop at Woodman's, get some classic radio shows. Not bad, right, Lisa?
Nothing to it.
Plus, they have amazing stores, great selection, and low prices in every aisle.
I would say, with or without the classic radio, it's a great place to shop, and we hope that you'll check it out.
They and you know what else they have there at Woodman's?
They have great green apples.
Well, they do, but you know what's really important to me? Gigantic carts.
Oh, right. You like to be pushed around
huge
in a cart.
Huge carts, Ashley. Ashley Byhun is producing our show tonight, by the way.
We forgot to say that.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Ashley.
That's all your fault.
I don't know why Carl would gloss over that.
No. Ashley, who's just an amazing producer,
I want you
to know that they have gigantic carts at Woodman's.
You know why that's important to him? Because that way when we go to Woodman's, he can get in the cart and I can push him around.
Push kind of
like
around.
A child. Now, that's shocking,
kind
isn't
of
it?
Like a child. Or,
and I give him a lollipop while he sits.
You know,
so
that you're not supposed
happy.
To put children in those carts. That
well,
is bad,
you know
bad, bad.
That might
mothering.
Be, but every...
Bad mothering.
Let me tell you something, mister. Every mother puts their child
no,
in a shopping cart and
no,
goes to
no,
the grocery
no,
store.
No, no, no,
that is true.
It says right in there, no, do not put children in the carts. It says that on every cart.
So
don't you know that?
That's just because you didn't take your children shopping, but I did. And I went in the carts, and
I
have four kids,
shopping.
And they all went to the cart, and everybody's good. So it's
I
all good.
Shopping.
I bet you did.
But nobody has bigger carts than Woodman's.
Well, I'll get you a lollipop, and I'll push you down the row.
Okay.
I'll give you a great big push and see what happens.
All right. Sounds good. All right. You know what? In our next hour, Rocky Fortune, Frank Sinatra. Stars as amateur detective Rocky Fortunato in a good episode from 1954. Then after that, it's The Amazing Mr. Malone. Not a lot of episodes exist from The Amazing Mr. Malone series, but we have one for you.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that.
We've never aired one.
I'm excited.
That's why. All right, well, that's what's coming your way. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning, so stay with us. Right here on WGN. Hear the sounds that matter, the top five at five from the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantes, weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. It is time for news at midnight. Here's David Jennings. May I have this dance? Lisa No E.
I'll have to think about that one for a while. Are you a good dancer, Carl?
Let's take it nice and easy. It's
gonna be. Are you a good dancer?
I stink at dancing.
How'd I know that?
This is Frank, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, we have Frank on this hour with Rocky Fortune, too. He could sing that chairman of the board, couldn't he? Huh, Lisa? Can you dance? Do you and Dan go out and dance? And can you do like the where he twirls you and all that kind of stuff?
I can, but we don't generally do that. And Saturday nights, I'm generally here. And Sunday nights, I'm generally here. And Friday nights,
but I mean, if you go to a wedding, do you guys dance like that where he twirls you and dips you and all that?
Yeah, I love that.
Really?
That's fun.
Gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I
say new things you learn every day.
Do that.
I
would step on.
I was just guessing that. That's why I asked
my partner's
you.
Feet. I'm sure.
Your partner? Who's your partner?
I would. Yanni. I would step on her feet. I'm sure. That would be bad for her.
And for you.
her little feet. I would step on them. It would not be good.
Well, you could do something about that if it were important to you.
I could take lessons.
You could.
Yeah.
You could go to Fred Astaire Dance Studio.
Yes, I could.
Yep.
But I'm not going to, though.
Okay.
Anytime soon.
It's just not a priority at this
Unless
time.
Unless I get a call from Dancing with the Stars. Now, if they want to call me and have me be on that show.
I would be on that show. It would take a
would
few
you?
Years to be up to snuff, but I think I could get there eventually.
I would be the first person eliminated.
You and
show.
I both.
I would be like, I'd be all excited. I'd go there. And then the very first round, I'd be eliminated because I wouldn't be able to. You know, I auditioned once. This is true. As a kid, you know, when I was a kid, you do all kinds of different things.
You auditioned for Dancing with the Stars?
No, I auditioned to be a dancer at Great America. Did I ever tell you this story?
No.
There was a whole line of us. It was me and Vince Lombardi. And we went, he was like, hey, there's auditions. You know, we were looking for a summer gig, right? We were like 15. Well, we drove there, so we were probably like 17.
Right.
And we went to Great America, and they had auditions.
Right.
And we actually were so bad. There was other people dancing that we made other people mess up.
I'm sure you did.
That's how bad
we
were.
So did you get the part?
No.
I didn't think so.
They were like, you guys need to leave.
You know, I have a similar story. Just briefly, I went and auditioned to be an opera singer. Remember
really?
That? When? When I was in an opera? Well, I do not know how to sing opera at all.
That's right. I remember. You're like, I went to
this
audition.
And I figured, you know, I'm just going to go. I had a friend in it, and he said, you should audition. And they said, can you sing one song in English and one in Italian? And I went, no, I cannot do Italian. I absolutely cannot. So I sang a song from Wicked, clearly just a classic song. And I did get a
small. They hired you?
They did for one show. And then when they took the show on the road.
Well, that's a success.
They didn't ask me to continue, though.
Why? But you got to be in the one in Chicago.
I did.
I didn't get to dance at Great America.
Yeah, it wasn't a great fit for me, though.
We were literally making other people. It was like, you know, it was choreographed. So we were supposed to do, you know, the kick at the right time and the this and that. We
right.
were completely off. And people. We
well,
were,
you know, good for you for giving it your best shot.
Yeah, you know, listen, I'll... it was a paying gig. I was looking for money. I was 17
right.
years old.
I'm sure they paid a ton at Great America.
they didn't even offer me a job to
job.
Wear like a Looney Tunes head.
Maybe
walk
you could
around
just hand out, you know, like you could take tickets, kind of rip the tickets as you go in.
That
or something
takes
like
coordination,
that.
Though. I don't I
know.
Think I could do
you
that.
You could probably learn.
I could not chew gum.
You're
and
trainable.
Rip the tickets. In this hour, Frank Sinatra stars in Rocky Fortune, good show from 1954 that's coming your way just a moment. But first, we're going to play our game. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Sponsored by Cat's Pride.
Yes, the celebrity is Robert De Niro. And we are going to give away a special prize. It is 2 lawn tickets to Ravinia in Highland Park on July 12th to see the Oscar-winning film West Side Story with the score performed live by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Great
okay.
night at Ravinia Festival.
And what number would
we're
you like?
We're going to look for caller number 5. So call right now, 312-981-7200. Caller number 5, and we will be right back. Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
All right, how you doing?
Good, so glad you're with us. You want
hey,
to say
Kevin.
Hi, Carl? You want to play a little Real or Ridiculous?
Sure.
All right, terrific. Number 1, this is Robert De Niro, okay?
Yeah.
All right, Carl.
I know a lot about Robert De Niro, so I'd be a good lifeline for Kevin here.
Okay.
I've gotten like 20 in a row wrong, but...
Right, and he's holding his sound effects that I bought him from Walgreens, so we're in good shape.
Yeah.
Okay, number 1. He was accused of being involved in a prostitution ring in Asia and vowed never to return.
Oh,
real
my.
Or ridiculous?
Really?
Well, I don't know. Really?
I don't know.
Ridiculous.
I'm going to agree with Kevin. Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
You are both right, but I will tell you that that actually happened in France. That is true for France, but you were both correct in your answer.
So he won't go back to France?
That is correct.
Okay.
Now you know. Number 2, he has gone on record as having publicly stated that his favorite actress to work with is Meryl Streep. Real or ridiculous?
Hmm.
I'm trying to think of movies he's been in with Meryl Streep.
I don't know if he's ever been in a movie with Meryl Streep.
I would say ridiculous.
I can't think of a movie he's ever in with Meryl Streep. So I'm going to agree with Kevin and say ridiculous. I think you're trying to fool us.
It's real.
What?
That is what he said.
Really?
Yeah, I do think that they were in a movie together, but I can't tell you what it's called. I'm going to look it up during the break, and I'll let you know when we come back.
All right,
one for one here. Here we go, number 3. In 1989, he formed his own production company called Tribeca Productions. Real or ridiculous?
Kevin, what do you think?
Tribeca. Is that real or no?
It is. is. It's real.
I'm going to go real.
It's real. All right.
All right, so you did 2 out of 3. But
all right.
You did
back
great.
On a winning streak,
Carl,
here, thanks
that
to
is
Kevin.
Fantastic. Kevin, you're Carl's lucky charm here. You are the big winner,
always
Kevin.
Always after me, lucky charms.
You've won a pair of tickets to Ravinia in Highland Park on July 12th. See the Oscar-winning film West Side Story with the score performed live by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and join our very own Dean Richards before the film for a pre-concert discussion. Get your tickets at Ravinia.org. So this is for July 12th performance. I love Ravinia. I'll be there soon for Tony Bennett. And I go to Ravinia all the time. I hope you enjoy a little time under the stars there.
Cool.
Terrific. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks,
and I hope
Kevin.
You have a great evening at Ravinia.
Way to go, buddy. All right. He's a big winner. Kevin's a big winner. He's going to Ravinia. Ravinia.
Somebody texted in Deer Hunter. They're probably right.
Deer Hunter. Gosh, that was a long time ago. That's why I forgot about that.
That must be why. Yep.
That was like way before your time. Probably like 70s.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
You didn't see movies back then?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
All right.
I'm gonna check.
I spent a lot of time in my basement cataloging classic radio shows.
I've heard about that. Deer Hunter.
I didn't have a life.
1978,
in case you were wondering. Yeah, late 70s. Mm-hmm. You had a life. I was collecting classic radio. Now we're here on the radio because I gave up my early childhood.
You didn't have any other
collect these classic radio shows.
That's all you did?
The whole basement was like... It was an homage to classic radio. I had posters up all over. I was a young kid, and I had all these reel-to-reel tapes, and I was a total nerd.
I'm not shocked, but
you know what? Now we get to play these shows.
We do.
On the radio.
You did a great thing. I'm glad I met you when I met you.
Gave up my whole childhood for it.
Well, thank you, Carl. Look what you did for me, and you didn't even know you were doing it for
me.
You know, I've been telling you all night that you've been not so nice tonight.
What? I'm nice.
Usually not tonight
Not
tonight.
Yeah. Okay. And you know what?
No.
If Frank Sinatra was here, I'd be very nice to him.
I bet
you would.
Wouldn't
want to mess with Frank Sinatra.
I wouldn't either.
He was the chairman of the board.
All right. Always be
Old
nice.
Old Blue Eyes.
You never know.
Old Blue Eyes. He starred in his own kind of a drama series. It had a little slight humor to it too. You know, his personality was definitely part of the whole. I'm sure he took the scripts and probably tweaked them a little bit to match his personality. And he played Rocky Fortunato. He was a guy out of work, sort of how I was when I was looking for my job at Great America as a dancer.
As a dancer.
and so he was being sent all over the place by an employment agency, Gridley's Employment Agency. And everywhere he went to work, there was a murder or some kind of crime. And, of course, he had to solve it. Right, Lisa? So this was a kind of an interesting series. Now, it lasted only one season because he won the Best Supporting Oscar for Here to Eternity. And that just, his career took off, and he was like, okay, I don't need to do this gig anymore. I'm in the movies now, right? So that's what happened.
So if you
get an Academy Award,
I'm out of here
in a movie,
right?
So let's hope that doesn't happen.
And just
happen.
So you know, we had somebody text it in. So Robert De Niro and Meryl Streep were in The Deer Hunter together, and a movie called Falling in Love, 1984.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
I didn't either. That didn't sound like a Carl movie.
Falling in Love. No. All right, let's tune this in. It's called One Husband Too Many. And it's from February 16th, 1954. Here's Frank Sinatra on Rocky Fortune.
Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
Rocky Fortune. You know, there's an old saying, never look a gift horse in the mouth. With pen and cheek, I now write me a new saying. Never look a gift blonde in the eyes. She was blonde because her hair told me so. That was the only proof I had. She didn't walk, she insinuated. She was from New Orleans and her name was Lou. And believe me, brother, Lou is no lady. When I saw, I said to myself, I'd dig this babe. She almost dug me, too. Right into her grave.
Now, don't tell me an interesting-looking man like you spends much time in an unemployment compensation line.
So I won't tell you. You call the shots, baby. I'm awful easy to get along with.
Yeah, I really believe that. I hate to see a capable-looking man like you standing in a place like this.
I know what you mean, honey. The name's Rocky Fortune. This is not only a name, it's also a description. As fortunes go, I got the rockiest. Last week was pretty bad in the money book, so this week finds me in line.
I bet you're not too easy to keep in line.
You keep up with that southern syrup, and I'm liable to wind up making like a pancake.
Buy you a cup of coffee?
Make mine straight. You got all the sugar I need. Warm by the steaming brew and blonde, I thought I'd better start moving in some direction, so I took the direct route. You must have something else on your mind besides what I hope. Why don't you spill, honey?
I love a direct man. Why don't you tell me something about yourself?
Well, I'm not exactly ready to publish a story of my life, not till I know what rights I can hang on to. Tell my fortune first.
Nice though. I think you're about to come into some real money.
I like you, Gypsy. Keep reading the coffee grounds.
And I notice you never mind sticking out your neck just a little bit if there's money involved.
That could be the story of my life. Yes.
You also have an unfortunate habit of getting yourself involved, and sometimes you get hurt.
Keep reading me.
Well, I got me a little plan where you get just a little bit involved, where you can't possibly get hurt, and where you can make yourself some $5,000.
Honey, my ears ain't wagging because of the money. I'm just fanning my face to keep a cool expression. Give.
All you have to do is one teeny-weeny little thing for little old me.
I'll make book. I won't like it, but tell me anyway.
But, honey, you will like the $5,000. It's such nice money.
And just what does little old me have to do for little old you to make that little old $5,000?
Kill my little old husband.
She poured on her message of murder.
So you see, honey lamb, it really is most embarrassing for me to be in this predicament. But there's one thing I got too much of.
Yeah, it's tough to believe. From where I sit, the distribution is great.
I just love to hear you say things like that. I just love it.
Let's get back to the excess. You said you had too much of something.
Oh, yeah. It's just too bad, but it can't be helped. I just have too many husbands.
Too many what?
Isn't it silly?
That's perfectly ridiculous. I thought I just heard you say you got too many husbands. Must have misread my ears.
No, you heard me right, honey.
But that's illegal.
Yeah, I know. That's what's so silly. It's all the law's fault.
I'll make book on it. What's the story?
Well, they weren't ever supposed to let Marvin out of prison, and now that they have...
Oh, so it's an ex-con you want me to bump.
Oh, no. Marvin hadn't any dirty old money. It's Perry I gotta get rid of.
Who is Perry?
My husband.
Who is Marvin?
My husband.
You lost me someplace, honey. Let me tell this to myself as I now understand you, which I probably don't. You have two husbands, Marvin and Perry, both alive and both kicking.
Well, Marvin's kicking because of Perry. But Perry isn't kicking because he doesn't know about Marvin.
Lady, right now, I don't know about you. You just don't seem right to me. You just don't seem right. It was getting on toward evening when I made like a Holman pigeon. The wheels in the head were whirling. The first thought was to invest in a call to Gestapo headquarters to ask my pal Sergeant Finger to run a make on the blonde. I tossed out that bright idea. If this dizzy dame was pulling my socks, Finger would never get off my back about it. I had a short session with the idea of going to the husband and informing him of the facts of life. Southern Friday gave me a real fancy engraved card with the address so I knew where to find him. But that notion hit the trash too. If she is kidding, I'm a real patsy. By the time I'd reached my pad and opened the door, I decided to forget my dizzy blonde dreamboat and find myself another playmate for the evening. I reached for the light switch when something hit me. That something that hit me was more than an idea. It was more blackjack style. Before I knew what had happened, I was sailing away to Dreamboat Bay, happy with my life as an ice cream soda. The awakening came like a whoosh of cold water in the puss, which it was. Somebody tossed me a lifesaver. I'm drowning.
I'm awful sorry to have to do this to you, Mr. Fortune, but it really was necessary.
Oh, stop bleeding about it. I might get upset. Who are you?
I'll tell you who I am after I tell you how important it is that you stay away from my honey pear.
Your what?
My honey pear. You shouldn't ought to be messing around with Lulu Ann.
Lulu Ann? Oh. The lights are on. I'm seeing. Could you be Marvin?
I sure am, Mr. Fortune.
What's the story? Who belted me on the head?
I did. But I'm awful sorry.
Don't drown in your tears. Now look, if you want to wrestle, Buster, just give me a chance to move in.
Careful now, Mr. Fortune. This here gun is sure loaded with real bullets. It would hurt me to have to kill you.
Yeah, I get the message. I wouldn't feel so good about that myself. So let's talk. Why massage my skull with a loaded leather?
I just had to convince you that you should stay away from my honey pear. I just know she's real gone for you.
Get ready to receive news, Buster, because I'm sending right now. I ain't interested in your honey pear. I think she's got a screw loose.
Well, that don't make no difference. She's interested in you.
Sure, she's interested in me. She wants me to do a job for her.
What kind of job?
She wants me to bump husband number two. She's offered me $5,000 to bump Perry.
$5,000 to bump Perry? I see it all now. Isn't that downright sweet of her?
If you see anything, turn on some lights for me. It's awful dark where I'm sitting.
Well, don't you see? He knows I'd be perfectly willing to bump Perry if she asked me to. She just don't want me to get into trouble. You know, that really touches me.
In the head, pal. I think you're both touched. Now listen close to some words I'm going to read. I want no part of your honey pear or a $5,000. I want no part of you. And if I ever catch you without a loaded heater in your mitts, I'm going to play Scrabble with your head. Now scram.
Now, it hurts me to have to be unfriendly. It hurts me real bad, but I still got something to say to you, Mr. Fortune. Stay away from my honey pear, no matter how close she wants to get. And don't you worry about taking care of Mr. Perry. I'll see he gets taken care of nice and proper. Right now.
That's the first portion of Rocky Fortune. And we'll have more in a few minutes. But it's time for news here at 12:31. Here's Roger Badish.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Don't forget, join the Classic Radio Club. We want you to join. We created the Classic Radio Club for our listeners. When you join, you get 10 of the greatest classic radio shows sent to you via digital download each and every month. Or you can get them on CDs, 5 CDs in a collector case and all kinds of liner notes. It's a lot of fun. Join the club. We have hundreds and hundreds of members. And for the first month, you can join for only $1. You can check it all out, learn all about it, cancel at any time if you're not happy. It's all at ClassicRadioClub.com. Go to the website, check it out, read all about it. Hey, read all about it.
I was just going to say that. Were like Newsies, yep.
Like the news kids, you know, they're like... Yeah, that's the part I want to play on one of these classic radio show reenactments.
A paper boy?
Yeah, I'd be like, get your extra, read all about it. You know, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, I'd give it a 7. What do you think, Curtis? Try it again. Why did you raise your voice so high? Because you're trying to be younger?
Yeah, I did it. Yeah, they were young. The newsboys were always like, all right, should I do it?
Let's do it one more time.
Hang on a second.
Okay, here we go.
Oh,
wait, prepare.
It's a lot of pressure now.
Take a breath.
They used to say extry. They never said extra.
Well,
they used to say
extra, but you say extra.
No, I'll say extry, because they used to say extry.
Okay.
Are you ready? Extry, read all about it. What do you think?
That was better.
Better?
It sounded
Ashley,
a little forced.
What do you think?
A little forced.
She's not impressed.
Notice he's not asking me.
Yeah.
Roger?
Well, that's
come on, Roger.
Good.
I didn't have a childhood.
And it shows so
I think you
deeply.
Still have a childhood. Yeah, you haven't grown out of it yet.
That's why I do this, because I have a childhood. All right, Roger, here we go. Extra, extra, read all about it. What do you think?
You need just a tad of an accent on there.
Like a Brooklyn accent?
Yeah, a little bit.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
You just gained about 30
years. That was like Boston. I think
he wore himself out already.
Go take a nap now, gosh. Carl. Take a little rest.
Yeah, really.
Man.
Let's hear the accent of Frank Sinatra.
Nah, yeah, Frank will be a lot
Frank's
better.
Frank's got the accent.
This is a good show. It's called One Husband, Too Many. From February 16th, 1954, the conclusion to Rocky Fortune.
First thought was the tip sarge finger and giving the rundown on the screw-loose con and the too-much-married blonde. Second thought was that by the time I convinced them this comedy of murder is for real, little old Marvin would have drilled a little old hole right through little old Perry's head. Thinking back on the running order, the only thing that convinced me the whole bit was for real was the lump in my skull. Everything else could have been a gag, but this wasn't. Next item should be to make a fast trip to the apartment of Mr. and Mrs. Perry Shane. I made the item. Even the buzzer I pushed in the swank layout looked solid gold.
Yes?
Mr. Perry Shane?
That's right.
I got to talk to you, Mr. Shane, and we better talk fast.
I don't understand.
You will. Just get in out of the doorway and close the door.
Now, wait a minute. I don't like being pushed around in my own home. Who are you?
Rocky Fortune's the name. Sorry for the shove, but it had to be. Look, I'll give it to you straight. Somebody's looking to kill you.
Somebody wants to kill me?
That's right. An ex-con by the name of Marvin is looking for you right now.
Why does he want to kill me? Did I ever send him up?
That I don't know. I didn't even know you were a mouthpiece. Incidentally, is your wife home?
No, she hasn't been home all day. Do you know my wife?
If that's her picture sitting on the mantle, I know your wife. Your wife, incidentally, is the reason Marvin wants to kill you.
Now, before I ask you to leave, would you mind elaborating on this fantastic story of yours?
Well, I guess I'm giving it to you pretty fast at that. The picture ain't very pretty, though, so I don't feel bad. Believe me, mister, your southern bell is ringing out nothing but bad news for you. She wants you dead.
I don't know what this is all about, but right now I'm not interested. I don't know who you are or what your plan is, but will you please leave before I call the police?
Look, mister, believe me, I know she wants you dead because she offered me $5,000 to kill you.
Get out. Get out now.
I'd hate to have to belt you, so if I do, it's for your own protection. You better keep your hands down, Mr. Shane.
No one makes accusations like that against my wife.
Take it easy, Mr. Shane. Real easy now. You're going to push me too far.
Get out of my house.
Now sit down in that chair and behave yourself. I'm getting a little tired being shoved around. I'm the patsy in the deal, and I ask for nothing. Now, listen to what I have to say. First of all, how long have you been married?
That's none of your business.
So it's none of my business. This bump in my noggin was none of my business either before I got it. Your wife's husband is the character who gave it to me.
My wife's husband? Are you insane?
I don't blame you for asking, pal. I doubted myself for a couple of minutes. Whether you believe it or not, your wife has another husband. An ex-con by the name of Marvin.
You mean her ex-husband? I know she's been married before.
I mean her present husband. He was supposed to be a lifer, so she never bothered to get a divorce. But the law crossed her by letting him out.
Now, wait a minute. If all this is true, and frankly, I believe none of it, just what is your interest?
Your wife put the make on me for a couple of weeks. She decided I was the kind of guy she wanted for a particular job. She offered me $5,000 to knock you over.
Sounds like a handsome offer. What's stopping you? A
couple of things. First, the law. It's real illegal, you know. Second, you'd be real dead if I did.
Those two items are stopping you from earning a $5,000 fee?
What do you think?
Now, you seem like a particularly bright but rough young man. If you're passing up that offer, it's only because you want more from me.
That flatters me not, pal, but we'll overlook it. At least it shows you're thinking maybe Dreamboat did make the offer.
I see. Would you suggest I call the police and tell them a complete stranger has informed me I'm about to be killed and please send me a police escort?
I'm giving you credit, so please extend the same in my direction.
Well, what would you suggest?
I'll make one call to the Irish Clubhouse.
To the what?
Sorry, pal, lost my head. Irish Clubhouse happens to be local police headquarters. Sergeant Hamilton J. Finger's my boy there. I'll call him, get him to give you a rundown on me, and then we'll both go over to headquarters.
Well, there's the phone.
Let's hope for your sake that Finger is at hand.
25th Precinct.
Sergeant Finger. I'm here to eternity.
Don't tell me. Let me guess. Frank Sinatra?
Oh, you are a funny man. Finger, I'm going to put an attorney on by the name of Mr. Shane.
I happen to know he's got an ex-con gunning for him. Will you tell him that I don't make jokes about things like this?
Now, wait a minute. Don't put anybody else on. Who's gunning for who?
Sorry, pal, but I got a deadline. I got to get this guy over to the protection of your schlack house before his own line goes dead from a bullet. So talk to the man.
This is Perry Shane speaking.
I don't know what this is all about yet, Mr. Shane, but if Rocky says your life is in danger, we better come over right away.
Just a minute, Sergeant. Since I actually don't know this man, and I don't know you, perhaps we'd both better come right over to the precinct.
It's your life, Mr. Shane.
We'll be right over.
We went. Out of the door, the plush pad, down the gilded shaft for lifting, and out under the tilted nose of a snooty doorman. Lawyer Shane's car was parked in front of the apartment. It was long, black, and shiny. Could easily be a convertible. Convertible into a hearse. We made toward the car. Shane opened the door and started to get in. He moved toward the driver's seat, but I saw it coming up and shoved him toward the ground.
Hit the ground!
What happened? Take a peek at that neat hole through your windshield, and you won't need any other diagram. Now get behind that wheel fast, and let's get out of here.
Is he safe?
Yeah, he's real gone by now.
Did you see who it was?
Yeah, but just pull over here, right at this curb. Pull up right here somewhere. It was little old Lou's little old husband. That was Marvin. Who else would be jerky enough to try a shot like that?
The hole in the windshield. It's right where I would have been sitting if you hadn't pulled me down.
Save the drama till we have time for it. We got things to do.
But aren't we going right over to the police headquarters?
You're going right over to Sergeant Finger, 25th Precinct. Now give me your apartment keys. I'm going to move fast. Now I'm going right back to your apartment. You go over to the precinct and bring Finger back. On the double.
Well, what are you going to... Why aren't...
$64 questions come later. Move, quick. Rube Goldberg stuck a bulb over my head and an idea lit up. The next move could be back to the plush pad, and I want to be there to see it. I no sooner got the door open when magnolia blossoms hit my eardrums.
Rocky, I'm so happy as little old you.
I'll just bet you're no end pleased.
I saw the whole thing right out this window. I was horrified.
Why? I thought you wanted him bumped.
Well, I do, but I didn't want you bumped. Oh, I couldn't stand it if anything happened to you.
Lady, you killed me.
Oh, now, Rocky, you could waste that much talent.
Let's write some story now, Lady Lou. Were you camping out in the other room while I was talking to Perry?
No, of course not. I was just completing my little plan with Marvin. You see, I'm afraid I had a change of heart, Rocky. I realized I'd still have Marvin as a husband, even with Perry out of the way, and that wouldn't do at all.
Why not? Marvin was the banana you picked in the first place.
Oh, but I got different ideas now. I want me another husband. I got him all picked out.
Say, you are the one. Mm-hmm. Your little plan was just screwball enough to work, too. You know this crazy Marvin's gone enough on you to do anything you want. He kills Perry for you. You, the about-to-become Black Satin Widow, testify you saw Marvin kill Perry?
And the law kills Marvin because he was wicked and murdered Perry. And that leaves me minus two husbands.
And plus Perry's loot.
Also plus one husband, number three.
And him you already picked out?
Not him, Rocky. You.
Me? I'm too young to die.
Oh, you're not gonna die, Rocky. Together, we're gonna live.
I'm so sorry for you, Mr. Fortune, that Lulu Ann picked you out. You know, I'm just downright sorry.
I'll buy that. You're the sorriest sight I ever saw. I hope you got my last message.
You mean about being too young to die? I received the message, but I'm afraid I gotta disagree.
Figures. The 38 you're packing looks mighty disagreeable. Where from in the woodwork were you hiding?
I just don't understand your Yankee talk. If you mean how come I come back here after shooting that and missing Mr. Perry, why, I just had to come back to find out what Lulu Ann wanted me to do next.
Oh, Marvin, honey, that's real thoughtful of you. I'm just going to give you a nice big kiss.
I hate not being a gentleman, Lulu Ann, but I think maybe you better stay over there with Rocky.
Why, Marvin!
I'm hurt, Lulu Ann. I'm real hurt. If I hadn't heard it from your own sweet lips, I'd never believe it. I heard the whole plan you told Rocky. You wanted me dead. And that goes against my grain.
Oh, but Marvin, baby, I was only telling Rocky that so I could stall him and keep him from calling the police. Now, you just go right ahead and shoot Rocky while I throw a few things in a bag.
Come, Marvin, you're not going to let Slick Chick pull the black satin over your eyes like that. Get with it, man, get with it.
Now, don't you go putting any of your Yankee ideas into Marvin's crowded little head. You go right ahead and shoot him, Marvin.
Sure, go right ahead and shoot me, Marvin. The cops will be here in a minute. You'll burn for killing me, and little old Lulu Ann will be left with her little old money bags, Perry.
Don't you be telling him things like that. Now, I'll just turn on the radio nice and loud so the shooting won't disturb the neighbors.
Don't you see, Marvin? She's got to get rid of you so that she can be legally married to Perry.
Don't you believe a word he says. You go on and shoot him while the music is loud.
Turn off the radio and listen to me.
You make it louder.
You gotta be dead or she's not legally married to Perry. She can't get his money while you're still alive.
We'll find a way of getting his money, Marvin, and we'll do it together.
Now, wait a minute. My nerves just won't stand all this shouting and loud music. I think you're trying to confuse me, Mr. Fortune. Get ready to leave, Lulu Ann. I'm going to shoot him. I'm just so surprised.
He was surprised. Think how I felt. Here I am staring at a .38 caliber lead purveyor, and I hear the hammer click, the gunshot, I wait for the hot lead, and instead of a rainbow explosion in the puss, I see the guy and the gun fall. The explanation came from a welcome sauce, my pal Sergeant Finger.
Someday, Rocky, that luck of yours is gonna run out. Why didn't you come down the precinct with Mr. Shane?
For the reasons which I hope you heard, namely the story as told by Honey, Pear, and Marvin. Did you get it all?
Did we get it all? The way you were all yelling, we could have taken that story down at the precinct. Come on, Honey, Pear, we're going downtown.
I refuse to move. You just have to talk to my husband. He's my lawyer.
Your ex-lawyer, Lulu Ann, and your soon-to-be ex-husband. I'll start annulment proceedings tomorrow.
Well, you can't annul me. Marvin's dead, and he's the only other husband I ever had.
Correction, sweet dreams. Marvin got his hand blasted, not his head. He'll be okay in a week. I can see you both now, walking arm in arm in your little old steel cottage, overlooking the Hudson River. In fact, if you're real sweet, I'll talk to Sergeant Finger about getting you a room with a southern exposure. That's so you'll all feel at home. It's a nice feeling, Mr. Shane, having a lively, expensive dinner after looking at some deadly lead.
Well, we both have much to be thankful for, Rocky. You keep looking at me as though you want to ask me something.
You hit the nail right on my head, Mr. Shane. My nose is where it don't belong again. I mean, Honey Pear wasn't a smart chick. She was wild and screwy and about as subtle as Sophie Tucker. How come she got hooked with a smart guy like you?
Oh, I was lonely and... She was pretty. She was amusing. I happen to be a man. Need I say more?
If you do, you'll be talking too much. You look like you got something on your mind, too, Mr. Shane.
You hit the nail right on my head, too, Rocky. I was sort of thinking about you.
Well, you'll have to spill without any payment for your thoughts, Mr. Shane. I'm a little low in the loot department.
That's what I was thinking about. You see, I'm a very successful attorney. Frankly, I'm quite a wealthy man, and I can afford to have whomever I want around my office. I know your source of income is, rather unstable. How about a job?
Me? In a mouthpiece office wearing a white collar? No, thanks. Not for this moose.
Process servers have no use for white collars. They lead a pretty eventful life.
Process server? Yeah, I didn't think of that. An outside-type profession that could be interesting and lucrative. Yeah, I'll have to kick that around between the ears a bit.
Well, while you're kicking it around, I'd like to make out a check for you for a nice sizable advance.
I'll tell you what, Mr. Shane. Me, I'm a realistic type. Make it out of my favorite charity.
Which is?
Cash, Mr. Shane. C-A-S-H, cash.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast included Betty Lou Gerson, John Stevenson, Maurice Hart, and Barney Phillips. Tonight's script was written by Norm Sickle. Andrew C. Love directed. Now, to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Hey, man, you ever been tiger hunting in Nepal? Well, I haven't either, but they tell me they tie a goat to a stake and they wait for the tiger to show up. Next week, I'll tell you about the time a guy I know went tiger hunting. Only the tiger was human, and the goat, that was me. See you around.
Visit with Fibber, McGee, and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
That's some groovy music, man. I think that was a trombone. I'm pretty sure it was a trombone there on Frank Sinatra's series, Rocky Fortune, February 16th, 1954, One Husband Too Many. And this had Betty Lou Gerson in the cast, too, and she was in the prior show, The Whistler, so she gets around that gal. She's in a lot of these radio programs. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. That Frank Sinatra show was cool, right, Lisa?
Yeah, it sure was. Somebody mentioned on our text in line that you sound just like Frank Sinatra.
I like that person.
So we'll go with that.
Who is that? It's my new favorite person,
yes,
whoever that is.
Definitely wasn't me.
I sing like him, too.
You
right?
do?
Mm-hmm.
You're an excellent singer.
Yes,
and I dancer.
Know. Yeah, not such a good dancer, but singer, yeah. I mean,
you're kind of crooner.
I'm amazing in the shower.
Oh, I
Great
bet.
Singer
I
in the
wouldn't
shower.
Want to know, though.
The acoustics are so perfect in the shower for singing.
Again, too much information.
I mean, right? Have you ever sang in the shower? Did you ever do that?
Everybody does that.
Yeah. I mean, it just sounds so much better.
Don't you sound like you actually can do it?
Like, I feel like I could be on American Idol when I'm in the shower singing, but then.
What songs do you like to sing in the shower, for example? Nothing comes to mind. that song.
Oh, God. What's
I can't
that?
Think of anything.
I'm trying to think of the song that I always sing when I do karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
It's Raining, It's Pouring?
No.
The Old Man Is Snoring?
I can't think of it. I'll think of it, and then I'll
London
come,
Bridge,
having
something
a
like that.
Brain freeze
Bring
right now.
The I'm having rosy a. Pocket.
No, it's.
Is it from a musical?
No, it's a song.
Is it
How about John
is
Travolta?
It a real song
it's a song
made up.
No, it's like a 1950s song. I sing it every time for karaoke because it's all one monotone
one note.
And so
and
I can,
so you're
I
good
can
at
do that.
That.
Hmm?
One note samba.
No, it's, I can't think of it.
It is so impressive. He is so successful.
I'll figure it out and we'll have Ashley load it and we'll play a few minutes of it because it's a great song. And, you know, maybe I'll sing a bar or two.
Maybe you'll think of it.
Because I'm in the shower, so I'll have a bar of soap with me to sing. And I don't have my, I was not able to
You don't like the liquid soap?
Curtis didn't know how to set up my, what do you call it?
Do you have a loss
you call
for words
it? I'm
tonight?
Having, yeah.
You need a little Providence?
I slept.
It's past his bedtime.
Let me ask
my
you something.
My rim shot. Curtis couldn't set up my rim shot earlier.
So do you prefer a bar of soap or a liquid soap or a foam?
Liquid soap, and I have a scrungy thing.
Scrungy?
Scrungy.
Scrungy? It's not a scrungy, but it looks like a
like
scrungy.
Like a loofah?
It's like a loofah. And that's,
I wish know. I was a loofah.
It's got plastic on one side.
Do you know what that's from, Roger?
It's got plastic on one side, and then it has like the sponge part of it on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what that line is from? I wish I was a loofah?
No, it's from, probably
it's from
a show.
Movie. Oh, it's from a movie. It's a
pour
classic movie. Think about it.
Pour the liquid soap on there and
pour the liquid
scrub
soap
it
on
up,
the loofah.
Duh.
Probably one I haven't seen.
Probably
scrubbing
you have.
I don't remember the line.
Scrubbing bubbles. But I like baths.
A little bubble
too.
Bath.
I like baths too. Baths are good. I take a bath once a week, whether I need to or not.
You know, I think it's unusual. How do I phrase this? I think more women than I'm trying to be careful.
Yeah, men don't.
I
like
think
baths
more
as much.
Women than men appreciate baths.
I think
well, you
so.
Know why he likes to take a bath?
I'm
it's
afraid to ask.
Ducky.
No, it's how he practices his swimming.
Yeah.
Well, let's just leave it like that.
Oh, it's a chance to have my rubber ducky in there swimming around.
Ooh. Is it motorized?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. In the next hour, the amazing Mr. Malone. You've never heard one of these, Lisa.
No, I have not.
I'll bet you a lot of our listeners have never heard one of these.
It's a rare
so we
gem.
Have a rare radio program for you coming up. It's from 1951. That's in our next hour. But right now, it's time for news. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It's 1:02 in the morning. Time for news. Here's Schaumburg's own Roger Badish. I took my troubles down to Madden. Here's the song, Lisa. You know that I karaoke.
Well, let's hear you sing along. Come on. Just pretend you're in the shower. 34th
and fine. Love potion number 9.
Do you only know the chorus? Or
well,
do you know
it's
the...
all one tone, so I can kind of...
All right, let's hear.
With chicks, I've been this way since 1956. Got the fun and she made a magic sign. She said, what I need is love potion number 9.
That's good.
Okay, so it's like one tone.
Right.
This is what I. This is my go-to song.
All right.
At karaoke on
love
the ships.
Love potion number 9.
Any bar.
Is there any significance of that choice of song?
Yeah, it's like the only song that I can. I took a drink.
I mean, is there any significance of the lyrics or the message of the song?
No.
Okay.
I did. Wait. Thing in sight. And when I kissed a cop down on 34th and Vine. Broke my little bottle of love potion
you
number
understand.
9.
You gotta understand, he has you know, the words the when he does.
Yeah, I don't have the words right now. Yeah.
Right. Well, you're not in the shower. If you were in the shower, you would remember
the words. Oh, if I was in
the
shower, this would be like voice worthy. You know, it'd be American Idol worthy.
The problem here is I'm having a bad visual right now because I really don't want to go there. So I think we're going to leave it alone.
I took a drink.
All right.
I didn't know if it was day or night. I started kissing everything in sight. And when I kissed a cop down on 34th and Vine, he broke my little bottle of love potion number 9.
That's great.
Love potion number 9. See, I'm telling you, you know what?
What?
I'm going to get gigs from this now.
Good.
I'm going to get a bunch of calls.
I hope you do.
The Voice is going to call.
The Voice, American Idol.
American Idol.
You know,
what
there's
else?
A new show called Songland. Have you
I'll
seen
get a
that?
Call from there. Look, my phone's lighting up right
oh,
now.
Good.
Must be the producer. Maybe it's Simon Cowell.
Oh, wow.
Could be him.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my go-to song.
That's good. That's a good one for you.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
But that's, I mean, I can do a Billy Joel tune here or there, but
okay.
But when he goes
I'm a Billy
up,
Joel fan.
When he goes up, I can't. Up, I gotta. I just have to.
Stay
I go
on
down.
The note.
No, what I do is I go down. He goes up, you know, with a song, with uh-huh. his voice, and then I just go an octave lower.
Got it. You changed your wording on it that time.
I go an octave lower.
Good.
All right. Frustrated singer.
Frustrated.
You
what?
Know, if someone said, okay, you can fly. I'm going to give you the power to fly or sing or play the piano.
Right.
I would say sing.
Oh, I take fly in a heartbeat.
Really? Flying?
Oh,
I get,
always.
I get heights kind of scare me. So
I always wanted to be able to fly.
Really?
Always.
I would go with the singing.
Don't you want the power and visibility, you know?
Well, visibility would be
right?
good. That wasn't one of the choices.
I know, but I'm changing your choices. I could think big. If we're going to make it up, let's be big here. Let's be bold.
In this hour, the amazing Mr. Malone. He could probably sing.
Well,
amazing Mr. Malone. He's amazing. 1951, George Petrie stars in that. And I'll tell you all about that series in a few minutes. But first, we're going to play our game. Is it real or is it ridiculous? Sponsored by Cat's Pride.
Yes, the celebrity is Matt Damon. And
okay.
We are going to give away tickets for two adults and two children to Sycamore Speedway.
Sycamore Speedway.
I knew you were going to do that. Very
suckering suck attack.
Yeah, there we go.
Sycamore Speedway.
Okay, are we good now?
Yeah.
So we're going to go with caller number 4. Call right now, 312-981-7200. Caller number 4. We'll be right back. Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous. We have Steven on the line. Hi, Steven.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
Hi, Steven.
I'm doing excellent.
Terrific. Right. We're going to do a little Real or Ridiculous with Matt Damon, and we're going to start with number one. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are distant cousins. Is that real or ridiculous?
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It is real. That
no.
is
Oh, it is.
It is
no.
absolutely. Do you doubt me? They are
well,
best
we're
friends.
We're all distant cousins. We're all from Adam and Eve, so we're all distant cousins. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with they actually are, and they're best friends and distant cousins. Carl's a sore loser. Number two, he co-founded the organization H2O Africa, which supplies water to impoverished countries. Is that real or ridiculous?
That's real.
That's real.
That
is real. You are both absolutely right. One more to go. You ready, Carl?
Yeah.
Number three. He was an extra in the 1989 film Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Real or ridiculous?
Real. Why not?
I'm going to say ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Just made that one up. But you know what? You did a great job, Stephen, and you have won general admission for two adults and two children to Sycamore Speedway, family-owned since 1963. Plan your visit now at sycamorespeedway.com. You're going to have a great time there. Thank you so much for calling in.
Awesome. Thank you.
Terrific.
Thank you, Stephen.
Take care.
He's a big winner. And now it's time for the amazing Mr. Malone. All right. You want to know about this series, Lisa?
I sure do.
Crime series based on the John Malone series of mystery novels by Craig Rice. It came to ABC in 1948, lasted until 1951. Now, he was a socialite, John J. Malone. He was this socialite guy, but he was a tough Chicago criminal lawyer. So he was sort of like a detective, a socialite, and a lawyer, all mixed, sort of like your husband, Dan. He'd be perfect for this part.
He was born
a lawyer,
few years
he's a socialite, criminal guy,
if he was
tough
only,
Chicago lawyer.
If he was only born in the 50s, it would have been perfect.
And, you know, he just kind of served up his own justice, this Mr. Malone. It aired on television in 1951, starring Lee Tracy. On the radio show, there were a bunch of actors that played the part. Gene Raymond, George Petrie, which is on this particular episode, and Frank Lovejoy. So let's go back to a broadcast date of June 15th, 1951. This is called Early to Bed, Early to Rise. Here's George Petrie in The Amazing Mr. Malone.
The Amazing Mr. Malone.
Operator. Operator. Get me the office of John J. Malone.
The National Broadcasting Company presents The Amazing Mr. Malone, an exciting half hour of mystery starring George Petrie as the lawyer whose practice before every type of bar has become a legend. Our locale is the city of Chicago, the time, the present, and the hero of these weekly adventures, The Amazing Mr. Malone.
Malone's the name, John J. Malone, attorney and counselor at law. Tonight, in our study of the cliché, let's examine the familiar early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. If that's true, Jeff Lewis is destined for failure. Jeff's a good-looking boy coming home at 4 in the morning. It's easy to understand why he keeps the same hours I do. He's a musician. He plays piano with Rusty Gates' band. But Jeff's not the only musician in the family. He's got a wife who can sound off, too. But, of course, her solos aren't nearly as sweet.
That you, Jeff?
Uh-huh. Thought you'd be asleep, Claire.
When I sleep. You realize what time it is?
Yeah, it's 4 o'clock.
Where have you been? You got off at 2.
I went out for coffee with Rusty.
You went out for coffee with Rusty?
Yeah, that's what I said.
I suppose you two were alone.
Oh, look, Claire, do we have to start that? I'm tired.
You're tired? Do you ever think of me sitting here till all hours of the night, worrying myself sick, wondering what's happened to you? Thinking maybe you got hit by a car?
Oh, now you're being ridiculous. Wear my pajamas.
Now I'm ridiculous.
Yes.
I don't know why you bother coming home at all.
I sometimes wonder myself.
Then why do you? Why don't you just say you're tired of me?
Well, if you want to know, Oh, wait, look. Look, honey, please. Let's not fight. You know how I feel about you, but every night it's the same thing over and over again.
I'm sorry, dear. I don't mean to act like this. I just can't help myself. I love you so much I can't see straight.
I love you too, honey.
I don't blame you for being angry. But every time I see all those women hanging around the bandstand...
They're just a bunch of jerks. I wouldn't give 2 cents for any one of them.
You're a darling to put up with me.
Come on, forget it, will you?
I'll make you some coffee?
Yeah, it sounds like a good idea.
Okay, I'll get right to work.
And maybe you can make a sandwich, too, huh?
I thought you ate with Rusty.
What?
When you came in, you said you were out with him.
I was.
Then how come you're so hungry?
All I said was I...
Was Rita there, too?
Rita?
Oh, haven't you met Rusty's wife?
Listen, Claire...
I thought you two were old friends. After all, she's been singing with the band for 3 years.
Now, look...
Don't think you're fooling me. I know what's going on.
You're out of your mind.
You must have been. And I am now, not to see it before. Well, I'll say one thing for you, Mr. Lewis. You were real clever. But you're not going to get away with it, understand? I'll kill you first.
Oh, that does...
Jeff, where are you going? I didn't mean it, Jeff. Honey, please. Jeff!
Just a second. Give me a chance, will you?
Look, you...
Hi, Malone.
What's the idea, Jeff?
Well, I was in the neighborhood, so I thought I'd just drop by.
What's the matter, Claire lock you out? Not that I blame her in your condition. You're loaded.
Ain't I, though, huh?
Well, that's one case I'll never get to handle. I thought you never touch this stuff.
Oh, I'm celebrating.
Here, you better sit down.
I don't mind if I do. Oh.
What's the trouble?
Trouble? Who's got trouble?
Obviously, you have.
Well, you know, you're right.
Claire?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it was bound to happen. What do you want me to do, start suit for divorce?
What makes you say it was bound to happen?
You forget I've seen her in action. Every time a dame asks you to play a tune, she goes nuts.
Well, she says she's crazy about me.
I suppose she is.
Well, why can't we make a go of it, huh?
Because Claire's not happy unless she's tormenting herself. She's sick. Mm. Well, I'll draw up the papers first thing in the morning.
Hey, you know what she said? She accused me of having a mad romance with Rita.
Rusty's wife?
Yeah. Imagine me and Rita. Hey, I suppose we did. That would teach you, huh?
If you're thinking what I think you are, forget it. Rusty would break your back, and I wouldn't blame him. You let me get you a nice divorce.
The only girl I ever loved and you want to see is a part.
Now, look, Jeff.
All Claire needs is a lesson, and... She asked for it, and she's gonna get it.
I tell you, you're handling this the wrong way.
How would you know? You were never even married.
Mm-hmm. And this sort of thing vindicates my judgment.
You know, you're trouble, Malone. You're a cynic. And now I'm gonna prove that you're wrong.
Any of you guys want to get something to eat? What about you, Jeff? You coming along?
Well, I thought Rita and I were going to run over a couple of tunes.
You were going to what?
Well, don't you remember, Rita? You said you wanted to go over that new Cole Porter thing.
Well, that's right. I did.
Why don't you kids do it tomorrow, huh?
You know what they say, Rusty. Never put off for tomorrow who you can do today. Why don't you and the boys go to Mike's? We'll meet you.
All right. You fellas ready?
Yeah. What are you waiting for? We'll see you cats later.
You bet.
Well, I must be losing my mind.
I don't get you, Rita.
I don't remember asking you to run over any tunes with me.
Oh, sorry. I thought you did. I guess I misunderstood.
No, you didn't.
Why did you tell Rusty we were going to rehearse?
Because I've been working with you for 3 years, and this is the first time you ever gave me a tumble.
Well, if you'd like to skip it...
Are you kidding?
Well, shall we get right down to work?
You know, you're cute.
Hmm?
I was wondering if you'd ever come around.
Look, Rita, I made a mistake, you see, I...
Did I ask for any explanations?
enough you wanted to be alone with me.
No, you don't understand,
I
kid.
Understand that we're wasting time. We got to meet Rusty.
No, but you don't... Hey, we shouldn't have done that, Rita.
Why did it hurt?
No, but I don't
but
think
you
that...
You aren't the darndest man for talking. Lucky I know a wonderful way to shut your mouth. Come here, baby. Let me show you.
Yeah?
Is that you, Jeff?
Oh, listen, Claire, I told you
not to... please, you can't hang up on me. You don't know what I've been going through all this week ever since you moved out.
I should have done it long ago. Maybe now you've got an idea what I've been through these past 4 years.
Look, Jeff, I'm sorry. I'll make it up to you. If only you'll come home.
No.
Jeff, please. I promise I'll never be jealous again. I know you're only seeing Rita to teach me a lesson.
What makes you think so?
Because you love me.
Maybe I don't anymore.
No. Jeff, you mustn't say that. You don't believe it yourself.
Look, Claire, you've got to get this through your head. Comes a time when a guy gets fed up. I've had it, baby. And you're the one who did the job.
Rita, see this in Variety? Ray Herbeck's working at the Riverside Hotel in Reno.
Can't hear you, Russ.
I hope...
What?
I'll tell you later. I think we got company. Just a second.
Claire.
I'm sorry to bother you, Rusty.
Oh, that's all right, honey. Come on in.
Have you seen Jeff?
Well, what do you mean?
He hasn't been home in a week. I'm going out of my mind.
You better sit down. You want a drink?
No, thanks. Rusty, you got to help me.
Look, Claire, I don't like to interfere in somebody else's
but
business.
But this is your business. It never would have happened if it hadn't been for Rita.
What?
She turned him against me.
You're nuts.
Look, maybe she can fool you, but she can't fool me. I knew she was after him the minute I saw her. If you don't believe me, just...
What's going on?
There she is, ask her. What? Play innocent, Rita. It's out of character.
All right, Claire, I think you better go.
You don't believe me. How can you be so blind? Can't you see she's nothing but a no good?
Get out of here before I throw you out.
Why don't you ask about the other boys in the band? Why do you think Hank's wife made him leave? She was running after him.
That's a lie.
That's why you picked on Jeff. But he doesn't love you. He couldn't.
Listen, you, the day I couldn't take...
Go on, Rita, the day you couldn't take what?
Honey, what's the matter with you? Are you going to listen to a crazy dame?
Who are you calling crazy?
I don't know about you, Rusty, but I don't have to put up with
you. You see?
All right, Claire, all right. You said your piece. Now just clear out.
Not until
I've heard enough. Come on.
Let go of me. Let me go.
I'll let you go when you're outside.
No.
Yes.
Let go of me.
That girl's insane.
That's possible. Now, what is this about you and Jeff?
You're not going to believe her.
Not if you can convince me she's wrong.
Rusty, I swear there's nothing to
it. I wonder. Barney made a remark about you last night, about your rehearsing all the time.
Well, if you don't want me to have brute
myself... Look, how come so suddenly you're interested, huh? You never cared before. Look, maybe it's time we did a little work together, huh? All right, Rita, you start singing. And you better make it good.
Hello, desk.
Yes, sir.
This is Jeff Lewis from 419.
Oh, yes, Mr. Lewis.
I called for a bellboy 20 minutes ago. What happened to him?
Oh, he's probably on his way up, sir.
How's he coming, by way of Cicero? Please see if you can... Oh, never mind, he's here now. Just a second. I said just a second. You take a year and then... But... What are you doing here?
No, you shouldn't have...
All right, Lieutenant, what do you want?
Hey, wait a minute, Counselor. How'd you know it was me?
Well, I've been answering my phone this way all week. The law of averages said I'd be right once.
Oh, you're amazing, Mr. Malone.
That's what I keep telling you.
What are you doing?
What else would I be doing at 4 a.m?
Ooh, what I know about you.
Don't be so funny. I assume you have a reason for disturbing me at this hour.
You assume properly. Look, how soon can you get down to headquarters?
Why, what's up?
You know Jeff Lewis?
Yeah, very well. What'd he get himself into?
The morgue.
What are you babbling about?
He was knocked off at 2:30 this morning.
Who did it?
Well, we kind of suspicion it was his wife, but naturally you're going to prove we're wrong.
Did Claire ask you to phone me?
You don't think I'd waste the taxpayers' money on a call of my own? Come on down, Malone. Your public's waiting.
You are listening to The Amazing Mr. Malone.
What do you think of that, Lisa? That's the first portion of The Amazing Mr. Malone.
I think Mr. Malone is pretty darn amazing.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so. I mean, not as amazing as you are, of course. I don't know if he can
probably,
sing like you can.
He can't sing as good as... He probably can't sing...
not as well as you do, but he has other talents.
He's not getting calls from The Voice... And
no.
All
well,
these other places
you just
like
hang
I
on
am
to your phone.
Getting calls like crazy here.
Yeah.
You know how much better that would have been if I was in the shower singing it?
I don't want to imagine that. Thank
Gosh.
You, though.
All
That's
right.
not a good visual.
George Petrie starring in The Amazing Mr. Malone. More in just a moment.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All righty. We're listening to The Amazing Mr. Malone, and this is called Early to Bed, Early to Rise, George Petrie, June 15th, 1951. Here's the conclusion.
And now, back to The Amazing Mr. Malone.
Like the man says, that's life for you. One minute you got it, and the next minute you ain't. Jeff Lewis found that out the hard way. Half hour after I got the news, I was on my way to headquarters, and when I walked in, I was greeted by Lieutenant Brooks with the most original line of the year.
Well, if it ain't The Amazing Mr. Malone.
You know something, Lieutenant? You could stand some new material.
Yeah, but where am I going to find a writer on my salary?
Where's Claire Lewis?
You want to see her now?
What do you think I came down here for?
Well, I kind of hoped it was me. Sussman, get Claire Lewis.
Right.
What's the matter with him? He didn't even say hello.
Well, he didn't recognize you with that briefcase under your arm. What do you got near your laundry?
Excuse me. The sergeant...
Oh, come on in, Claire.
Malone. You came.
Uh-huh. Sit down.
They tell you about Jeff?
Uh-huh.
He's dead, Malone. Jeff's dead.
I know.
I don't want to live anymore.
You're talking like a fool.
I don't want to live without him.
Why'd you send for Malone?
Well,
he's got a point there, lover. Now, either you want me to get you off...
I don't know what I want.
What do you think killed him?
Rita.
Rita Gates?
Yeah. She did it, Malone.
Why should she?
Because she... She knew he didn't care for her. He was just using Rita to get back at me.
Did Jeff tell you that?
He didn't have to.
When was the last time you saw him?
I don't remember.
I can tell you. It was at 2:30 this morning. He went to his hotel when he opened the
no,
door.
No. That's not true. I love Jeff.
Why don't you lay off her, Sidney? Can't you see what she's gone through?
Oh, use your head, Malone. She killed him as sure as you're standing.
No.
All right, Lieutenant. You made a lot of accusations, but where's your evidence?
We'll produce it at the trial.
Then you haven't any yet, huh?
Have you any? She didn't.
No, I guess we're all in the same boat, and it's up to me to find a paddle. All right, Claire, take care of yourself. I'll be seeing you real soon. Hello, Rita.
Why, Malone.
Can I come in?
Well, Rusty's not here.
It's all the better. I never believed it's so nice to have a man around the house.
You're not the one.
Ain't I, though.
Let me take your coat.
Don't bother. It's fine.
No, I should be mad at you.
What on earth for?
You haven't been over at the club to hear me sing in months.
Oh, I'll never forgive myself. Would you feel better if I slashed my wrist?
You're cute.
You ought to see me in my confirmation suit. I look like a doll in it. Too bad I got to break it in at Jeff's funeral.
Oh, do we have to talk about him?
What would you sooner talk about?
Us.
And then we have to come back to Jeff. I don't like to start a campaign with my last rival still warm in the morgue.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, it occurred to me maybe you killed him.
Are you crazy?
You know, when you found out he was playing you for a sucker.
He played me for a sucker?
Yeah, it was an idea he got one night in my apartment.
You're lying.
He wanted to give Claire something really to worry about. I tried to taunt him off.
Get out.
What's the matter? Don't you think I'm cute anymore?
You're going to get out of here?
Now, Rita, don't you dare throw that bottle. Hey, you missed me.
I'll show you.
Don't bother, lover. I'm convinced a girl like you couldn't miss twice. Maybe I'll give you another chance later. It's only me, Rita.
Oh, Rusty, I'm so glad you're home.
Are you?
You know, I had a miserable afternoon. How'd the rehearsal go?
Real bad. Boys are all sick about Jeff.
Yeah, I guess it'll be tough breaking in a new piano player.
Is that all you can think of?
Oh, now, Rusty, I explained that. Claire was imagining things. Jeff didn't mean a thing to me.
Mm-hmm. What was Malone doing here?
Huh?
Malone, the lawyer.
Oh. He's representing Claire. He thought maybe I could help her out.
What'd you tell him?
What could I tell him?
Maybe about you and Jeff having a deal?
Oh, you're getting as bad as she is.
Look, if you mean I'm jealous, you're right. Only I got a good reason.
Look, Rusty, we've been all through this before.
Sure we have, and you convinced me Claire was nuts. Yeah, you really talked me out of it. But since then, honey, I've been doing a little checking.
Well, you've got your nerve.
You know, I'm crazy about you, Rita. But you're no good.
What?
Everybody knows it.
Don't you talk to me like that.
Who's got a better right? Do you know what's funny? It doesn't make any difference. I don't care what you did. I still feel the same way about you.
Well, I'm overwhelmed.
Now, I want to know what Malone said.
It's none of your business.
Yes, it is, baby. And I'm going to find out if I have to break it out of you.
No, Rusty. No. Rusty.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy things, one of those bells that now and then ring.
A little flat there, Malone.
Just. Now, look, Rusty, I can go along with a gag, but this is too much. You know, this is the third week in a row I've walked in here and found the joint occupied.
You better get a new lock.
It's an idea. What do you want?
I just finished having a little talk with Rita.
Now I suppose it's my turn.
Mm-hmm. What'd you say to her?
Didn't Rita tell you?
Maybe I want to compare notes.
You don't have to worry, Rusty. This was purely business.
Is it about Jeff Lewis?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was telling the truth. You're trying to frame her for his murder.
I don't have to frame her.
Malone, if you involve Rita in this, I'll kill you. I mean that.
I believe you do.
Her name is not to be mentioned at Claire's trial. You understand me?
I don't see how we're going to keep it out.
I'm warning you. You bring her in and I'll break every bone in your body.
Even my little pinky.
What's the matter? Don't you think I can?
You're taking in a lot of territory. According to the encyclopedia, there are hundreds of bones in the human frame.
And if you think I'm
crying, oh, wait a minute.
Malone,
you wouldn't hit a man who was yellow,
I'll
would you?
I'll show you. You're pushing me
too. Hold it, Rusty. Why can't we be friends? Just to prove I've got no hard feelings.
Get away from that drawer.
I just want to get this bottle. Maybe we can split it. Together! Well, that's opening it the hard way, but you'll have to forgive me, friend. I forgot my corkscrew. Yo-ho, is anybody home?
Oh, no. What did I do to deserve this?
Nothing. That's why you should be grateful. Look, Lieutenant, I want to talk to you.
Must you?
Yeah, but first, how about shutting off that teletype?
Are you out of your mind? I'm expecting a very important flash. The score of the White Sox game will be through any minute.
Well, if you won't do it...
You know, that's what I like. I like to see a man make himself at home.
Where's Claire Lewis?
You know damn well where she is.
Well, you got to let her go.
Oh, I suppose you can prove she's innocent.
Yes, I got it all figured out. I'm telling you, Brooks, you bring her to court and I'll crucify you. You haven't even established a motive for the girl.
Are you kidding? Claire was crazy about Jeff and she lost.
No, she didn't. Jeff was only seeing Rita to needle her.
Look, Malone, I got work to do now. Now, why don't you go home?
I can't. Home ain't a fit place for me right now. You know who's there?
All right, I'll play straight. Who's there, Mr. Malone?
Jeff Lewis's killer.
No.
I'm serious, Lieutenant. It's Rusty Gates.
What's he doing at your place?
Right now, I imagine he's dozing. I put him to sleep with a bottle.
What are you talking about?
I had to conk him.
Why?
Well, it was either him or me, and naturally, I was prejudiced.
Did he have a gun?
No.
Well, why didn't you use your fist?
Are you kidding? Rusty must weigh 240 pounds.
So?
So, he would have murdered me.
That's no excuse.
Now look, Lieutenant, quit the kibitzing. I tell you, he killed Jeff.
Why?
He thought Jeff was breaking up his happy home.
Oh, you make it sound very convincing.
Thanks.
I said it sounded convincing. Actually, it ain't.
What are you babbling about now?
Jeff was killed at 2:30 at the Hillcrest Hotel.
So?
So, at 2:30... Rusty was doing a benefit on the North Shore where he was seen by 80,000 citizens.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's right. Now, how can one man be in two places at the same time, unless he's amazing? And you're the only one who reads that billing. Well, it's been grand, Malone. Drop by again when you can't stay so long.
You are listening to The Amazing Mr. Malone. Here again is The Amazing Mr. Malone.
Well, there was no use denying Malone had done it again. Here I'd worked out so neatly why Rusty Gates had to be the killer and Lieutenant Brooks had to knock it out of my head. You'd think he had a grudge against me the way he kept ruining my theories. Actually, Brooks is crazy for me. He just hides it so well he even fools himself.
You know your trouble, Malone. You get emotionally involved with the clients you represent. Now, why can't you be like the other lawyers in town?
Why should I? You ever hear their names on the radio?
Now, look, I thought you were going to talk sense.
You wouldn't understand me if I did. Now, listen, Sidney, are you positive that Rusty was at that benefit?
Absolutely.
What'd he do?
He led the band. What'd you think?
And how come Jeff Lewis wasn't there?
He wasn't feeling good, so they used the sub.
And when did the band go on?
At 2:15.
Well, suppose Rusty got off the stand for a while.
Not a chance. Besides, he never could make it to the Hillcrest. It would take him at least 45 minutes to cut across town.
Well, he must have worked it somehow. Now, how could one man be in two places at the same time?
Hey, I asked you that.
You know something, Lieutenant? I got the solution.
Oh, no, not again.
I mean it. Don't you see the answer?
No.
Well, can we get all our suspects together?
Who do you mean?
Rita and Rusty.
What about Claire?
Oh, of course. We'll need her, too. We don't want to play to a house that's only 2/3 full. Well, get on with it, Lieutenant. I'm ready to give the downbeat.
Hey, Sergeant. Sergeant.
You want me, Mrs. Gates?
Yeah. How long do you intend to keep us here?
Till I get orders, contrary-wise.
Well, my husband's sick. He needs medical attention. Can't you see he's got a cut on his hand?
I'm all right, Rita.
No, you're just trying to be brave. Is it hurt bad, sweetie?
No.
You picked a fine time to start worrying about him.
Keep out of this, Claire.
She killed my husband and you asked me to keep out?
You're really crazy.
I'll show you who's crazy!
Rusty, help!
Right, come on, Claire, cut it out!
Now, ladies, what'll the police think?
You let me go!
Better open him up, Lieutenant, before we have a bloodbath.
All right, you two, that's enough.
Let me go!
I said that's enough. Now, behave yourself.
She started it. If I ever get my hands on
you, I'll behave.
I'm sorry, Lieutenant.
Is it safe for me to come in?
Oh, don't worry, Counselor. The girls won't hurt you.
I was thinking of Rusty.
Oh, forget it, Malone. I had it coming.
Oh, that's very charitable of you.
What's the idea, Malone?
That's a very good question, Rita. Fortunately, I'm prepared with an answer. We're trying to solve the murder of Jeff Lewis.
She did it.
That's what I thought for a while, Claire, but I had to discard that theory. The truth of the matter is, Jeff didn't mean enough to her. As far as Rita was concerned, he was just another guy.
Why, you know...
Now, lover, that's no way to talk to a man who just gave you a clean bill of health.
Well, if she didn't kill him, who did?
You're leaving yourself wide open there, Claire.
What?
Yeah. You did it.
No. No, that's not true.
I'm afraid it is.
I'll kill you for this.
Me too? I just don't understand you women. Here you claim you couldn't live without Jeff. And when I arrange for you to join him, you complain. Well, I guess there's no pleasing some people.
I can't get over it. I just can't get over it.
There's something bothering you, little man.
Yeah. How you can have the colossal nerve to sit there and eat after lousing this whole case up.
That's gratitude for you, and after all the work I did.
After all the work you did?
What do you think clinched your case against Claire? Don't you know without me you'd have never gotten a conviction?
What do you eat that gives you so much gall?
I'm perfectly serious. Why any decent lawyer could have gone into court and gotten an acquittal? All he would have had to do is cast a reasonable doubt on your evidence. I ended that doubt once and for all.
Well, I don't see how.
By taking care of all the other suspects, I proved Rusty couldn't have killed Jeff.
You proved?
With a little assistance from you. But the unknown factor in the case was Rita. I knew she wasn't guilty.
And how did you know that?
Because when I went up to see her this afternoon, she convinced me Jeff meant nothing to her by making a play for me. And no woman who's lost a great love would have done that.
Aren't you forgetting your charm?
Now, what are you so bitter about? Here I demonstrate to the public that their police force is on the job day and night. And despite all the propaganda to the contrary, the cops are right, once in a while.
Jade, thanks.
And what do I get out of it? two women in a case and I wind up in a night spot with you.
Well, don't feel too badly, Counselor. I've got a feeling before this evening's over, you're going to wind up with something else.
Yeah? What?
The check. Good night, Malone.
Ever hear the story of the boy who worked out a scheme to convert common metals into precious ones? It paid off in reverse. For 2 ounces of gold, he got one of lead. I'll tell you all about it next week, so why not pick me up at my office at the same time? I'll be waiting for you. Good night.
George Petrie was starred as John J. Malone, with Larry Haynes as Lieutenant Brooks. Our program is written by Eugene Wang and directed by Richard Lewis. The Amazing Mr. Malone is based on a famous character created by Craig Rice and produced by Bernard L. Schubert. The events and characters in this story were entirely fictional, and any resemblance to persons living or dead is entirely coincidental. It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Straight from the pages of the Saturday Evening Post comes that famous Oriental detective, Mr. Moto. Created by John P. Marquand, Mr. Moto stars James Monks in the title role Sunday on NBC. Fred Collins speaking. The Amazing Mr. Malone has come to you from New York. Stay tuned for The Man Called X, next over most NBC stations.
That's the amazing Mrs. Wolf. I mean, Mr. Malone from June 15th, 1951. Early to bed, early to rise. And that starred George Petrie, also Larry Haynes in that cast. Fred Collins doing the announcing, and I hope you enjoyed that.
Are you early to bed, early to rise, Carl?
Yeah, I am,
makes a man healthy, wealthy,
and
wise.
Look who's here with us in the studio. Oh, my gosh. That's one of your offspring.
We have a very special guest. One of
your offspring.
One of my 67 children. No.
Marissa.
Marissa's here.
Is here.
Say hello. Hey, Marissa.
So there's the mic. Just say hi to everybody. Yeah, that's the one. Oh, wait. Hang on a second.
Come close.
Am I on the wrong microphone? Talk. Say it again.
Hello. Marissa.
There she goes.
There she is. Oh, that's nice.
Well, she came about 8 minutes before the show ends.
Well, yeah,
so we'll have a lot of time
listening
to have some
the
fun.
Uber over. She was listening to the show. So that's good. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm going to ask Marissa a question. Ready, Marissa?
Yes.
Wait, how come I'm not getting her on it? Here, try
that's
again.
That's number six.
Try again.
Hello.
This microphone is not working.
Maybe you don't know how to push the buttons.
No, it's just not working.
All right.
Go to that one.
Yeah, come over here.
Go to number five.
Go over to number five. Yeah, number six is not working. Marissa, are you there?
Yes.
Talk.
Hello.
No, go to this one.
This one's working.
No, go to four.
Oh, okay.
Hang on. These are not working. These microphones, seriously, are not working.
Are you sure it's the microphones?
Yes. You ready?
Hello.
There we go.
They
Hi.
Were not working.
Right.
Telling you.
Hi.
All right, there we go. I have a question for you, Marissa.
Okay.
I want to know if your mother ever put you in a shopping cart. Did she do that?
She did.
You
I told you I did.
Put? That is not... Good
no,
mothering.
I would
that
put you and
mothering.
I would ask to go into the shopping cart.
Oh my! And
I
then she would
to.
Leave you there and go shopping, and you'd be in the cart.
Yes.
No, I didn't leave.
No,
you there.
She would push us. With
I kept her with me.
We would ask to go. There were at
I'm
Target,
calling. What
listen,
is it?
There were
something
two
services.
Seats.
That's right. We
at
went
at Target.
To...
There were two seat shopping carts. So me and my sister would sit in the two seaters.
That's true. And I'd push this mammoth cart down the road.
I hope someone from Child Services is listening right now. So they can arrest
Take
you.
Take me away.
Yeah, in handcuffs.
Kicking and screaming.
In handcuffs. Marissa, I love your voice. You should be in radio.
Oh, thank you.
She has a great, great
well,
voice.
Well, she just graduated college and not in radio. So we'll see how things go.
What was your major?
Elementary education.
Oh,
so
wow.
If you're looking for
a teacher,
please, I'm looking also.
Hey, listen. Lisa Wolf's daughter, Marissa. She's how old? How old are you now?
21.
21. She's looking for a teaching gig. Any of you principals out there? Just text us here at 312-981-7200.
I'm incredible.
No, you can check it on Facebook. Go to WGN Radio Theater Facebook.
Is that how you do it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're serious now.
We're not kidding.
Very you want to teach?
She's the best of the
elementary.
Best.
And what does that mean? Like all the different things?
K through 3.
You teach everything.
I'm early childhood, so preschool through 3.
Looking for a gig.